morning, New Life. We made it back, and it was really nice coming back in, and I felt the AC over there. It was great. So I was happy about that, so thank you, Brian, wherever he's at. And I know Phil, there you are. Phil's not here, but they decided they needed a vacation, and then they did. They did. And I appreciate him covering into the pulpit and the guys at the did that, and also the seen some singers online that were different, and I thought that was good, so thank you for doing that, and just thank you for what you guys are doing. I know that some of them came in yesterday, worked on the church in some areas in the basement. Thank you guys for doing that. So it takes a church to, it takes people to do what we do, and to work and to serve to get things done, but it's good to be here today. It's good to be with you. It's good to be with you, and I thought there was something else I had, but if it comes to mind, I'll bring it up at the end. How's that? So anyway, thank you for your prayers for me and Carla and some of our family. And I think it's the first time we kind of took some main key Sunday morning people out, but it was good. We enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it. And but we are here today in service, and it is good. Once again, it's good to be back, but I want to, this morning, I want to take us through a journey of faith. There's one thing here that without faith, we won't make it here. I guarantee you that. We would not make it without faith here. Wouldn't make it without faith in my own life. And my faith isn't that I'm going to wake up the next morning. I know that's a blessing, but God created man to live. Appointed man to die. He's going to get up in the morning unless there's, you know, I think there's some blessings we're already just living in on a regular basis. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. I can wake up every morning and thank God for the sunshine, but I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty, and we're going to talk about some life things that's what I want to thank God for. That's where I need him to be, in my crossroads in my life. And I already know that God has the sun set and the sun rises. I already know that God is in charge of the moon and names the stars. It's time for some of us maybe to grow up in the Lord and get beyond some of the basics and be the believer that God called us to be, that we might step out there and know, hey, that is spiritual warfare. No, that is just a part of life. And know that we can discern those things by the Spirit of the living God. And so what we find ourselves in a place is, we find a place here in Luke chapter 7. Yeah, in Luke chapter 6 it is. But before we go there, I want to read something to you from Luke chapter 4. It is very something written in as a prophetic piece out of Isaiah. Jesus comes into Nazareth, but he is rejected there, but he still rolls in. We're not going to spend time. I'm just going to read it. But it is where Jesus goes in and picks up on the Sabbath. He picks up a scroll and he begins to read. And it's in Isaiah, and it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." If you're there, it's in verse 18. "Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." There's a lot of awesome things in there. I'm not going to discern what all those are. I've preached the message before, and I love to preach that message. However, what I just want to say today in that particular part is, Jesus picked up the scroll. He read it. He said, "I am here. I am the one. I am called to receive, to do these things, miracles and healings, and set people free." And he rolls it back up. And he gives it, and he sits back down. Now, they wanted to kill him after that. But I want to say that once he done that and he starts moving forward, his ministry is going off the charts. Life is changing for people. They're changing for people, listen to me, who believe. Just sitting in the synagogue, that don't work. It is the people who believe, people who have faith. Wherever Jesus went, there always seemed to be a crowd following, wanted to see what he was going to do, wanted to get something. Once he fed 5,000 and another 4,000, people were wanting food. And always wondered, what is Jesus going to give me? What am I going to get? What am I going to see? What am I going to do? That even happens at church. You know, people come to the church. You give us some gas money. You give us some things. Because the place, the church is supposed to be a place where people can get help and those kind of things. But some people just want it and they go. It is what it is. Some people that ate part of the 5,000 of the bread, they were there. They saw it. They just took part of the bread, but they didn't take part. They didn't take part of really what Jesus was doing. So what we see here is in the chapter, I'm going to bring a few very many short stories together, and I want to bring all of it in toward the end. But in Luke chapter 5, there is a place, we're going to be in Luke, where a man is, he was paralyzed, he couldn't walk, and so Jesus is in this place, and they couldn't get to him. And some of you know the story where some men had brought, couldn't get the man through on the stretcher, so they began to tear another man's roof off. That's how much they believe that Jesus, if we can just get to Jesus, that something can happen. They tear another person's roof off, and then they lower him in there, and Jesus sees all of that. But what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? Does he say that you are healed right out the gate? No, that's what we think, but he says something first. It says here in verse 19, he says, since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Friend, your sins are forgiven. You know, so many times we want Jesus to do something, but he wants something more to happen for you that's more important than what you're asking him for, is that your sins be forgiven, that you get yourself right with Jesus Christ. Not that you just get your finances right, not that you get your marriage right, not that you get your job right, not that you get your relationships right with your children, not that you get all these other things right, or even your health. It is that you get your heart right. I wish we as preachers would talk about getting your heart right more than getting everything else right. Because when your heart's right with Jesus, everything else begins to start to come in line. And some people are impatient and they want it right now, but there's a process. If it took us 20 years and we're in a mess for 20 years, you think Jesus wants to get it done? And within that moment of 20 years, sometimes he does, but sometimes he says, listen, there's a lot you got to learn. You'll run back to it if you get it fixed all right now. So what happens is there's always those people who are in the crowd, these Pharisees, that are the believers that should know what they're doing. Believe that they're not getting it together. But Jesus does say this, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Go back to Luke chapter 4. He has authorities to forgive sins. He told the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your stretcher and go home. Immediately got up before them, picked up and what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying the Lord. It's crazy that he came in on a stretcher through the roof, and then the man begins to walk right out the front door. He walks right out the front door. Why? Because he has a great name? No. Why? Because he has great friends? No. Because Jesus healed him. His faith, their faith, it wasn't even just him. It was those men who were with him. That's a great faith. Without faith, that day would have never happened. Couldn't get through. So I'm not going to work it out. I'm not going to go. So we see here that a man's faith, not just his, but the men who took him, ends up with forgiveness of sin, more than what he desired, more than what he needed, that he thought he needed. He went, he saw Jesus, he got much more than he ever thought. He walked in, paralyzed, always off to the side. He walked in, sins forgiven, body is healed, picks up his mat, begins to walk out, and he walks out with dignity. He walks out as a man respected back then. If you had one of those diseases, they just kind of threw you off to the side. He's walking right down the middle of the room. And it's all thankful and thanks to Jesus Christ. And a lot of bystanders, you don't think they had sick people? You don't think they had sins? You don't think they had needs? Oh, they did. But they didn't want to do it through Jesus Christ. They just didn't want to do it. We took a second story, got to run through these. It is a centurion's faith. Jesus is he's walking into Capernaum. And an individual comes, an individual's servant is sick. So the centurion's servant is sick. And what we see is the centurion sends some Jewish elders, going to send some Jewish because the Gentiles and Jews didn't work so well together sometimes and a lot of times. So this centurion, this Roman soldier, sends out some Jewish elders that he has serving with him, sends them over to Jesus. He says, when they reached Jesus in chapter 7, verse 4, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this request because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." So this centurion has done a lot of work and helped the Jewish people. But he sends the Jewish elders to go to Jesus and say, "Hey, this man, this servant of the centurion is a good man, and the centurion loves him, and basically he is sick and he's about to die." So Jesus begins to walk in that direction. And then he says, and he was not far from them. And the centurion, verse 6, sent friends to go tell him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have come under you under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does that." And what Jesus do? Jesus heard this and was amazed. He was amazed. What the centurion was saying is, "I don't even deserve for you to even come into my home. I don't even deserve you to come to my home. You need to stay out there, and all you got to do is say it." Now listen, if you know your scriptures, one individual said, "All I got to do is just touch the hem of his garment." And people say, "That's the greatest fit." No. This centurion, Roman soldier, centurion individual says, "You don't even need to come to my house. All you got to do is say it." You see, we get upset when non-believers reach out to God and God does something amazing. You see, we sit sometimes week after week and we forget all the things that God has done. We don't believe that. We believe the Bible stories, but we don't believe that God can do anything in our lives today. Listen, I'm looking for a miracle from Jesus this morning in my life. I've been praying one for all week. I've been throwing down with Jesus all week, throwing him all my junk. I got to work that out. Me and him's going to have to work that out. And I got to remember this. He's here and I'm down here. When you start thinking you're getting up here, you're losing it. Me and him, this has been a tough week. It's been a hard week. And these scriptures here, they validate my heart that goes with the Lord. It validates to me that Jesus is real. It validates and continues to say that Jesus not only has done things, but that he keeps doing things. Wherever Jesus puts his feet in front, wherever his path goes, things change, people change, if they believe and they have faith. And what we see here is we see this centurion who stays in the house, who sends out some Jewish elders, and he sends out friends. And this is what he says. He says, but basically, the centurion says, "All you got to do is just say it." And Jesus heard this and was amazed, and turning to the crowd, he turns around and he turns to the crowd, because these are the people that are his disciples. These are the people that are following. He didn't even look at the people in front of me. He turns and he says, "I tell you, I have not even found so great a faith, even in Israel." That was a pretty good blow to the Jewish people. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. Other scripture says, at that same moment Jesus said it, the man was healed in his home. The healing part, listen folks, the healing part is easy for Jesus. It's what we struggle with, how to get there. It is our faith that we struggle with. Chapter 8. This is what I love about the Gospels. You just see Jesus keep on doing things. Jesus keep on. And this is what Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah was saying. That this, when he comes, he's going to do all these awesome things. They had the prophetic peace in Isaiah and still couldn't get it. And even when they saw Jesus do something, they still would only call him a prophet. Because you know what it is? They were looking for the God that they wanted. And that's what we're doing. We're looking for the God that we want. And it's even preached out there. We're looking for the God that we want. Listen, God don't need to get in line. We do. You got a problem in your family, you need to get in line with Christ. You need to get in line. Get it back. Get it right. Get it going. Chapter 8, this is the third story. Chapter 8, Jesus, this one is a little more personal with Jesus and his disciples. One day it says in chapter 8 and 22, one day he and his disciples got into a boat and he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. Anything that Jesus says is important. Let's go over there. He's got a vision, got a mission. So they went out, and as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. They came and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're going to die. And when he got up, he rebuked the wind and raging waves. So they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where's your faith? They were fearful and amazed, and asking one another, who then is this? And he commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. Let me tell you, folks, storms come in life. And you don't get to pick if it's a typhoon. You don't get to pick if it's a hurricane. You don't get to pick if it's a twister or a tornado or just a big monsoon. You don't get to pick. And sometimes it's not even just the weather and sense of all the damage, but sometimes it's even just a plain old dry season that you have to get through it. And the thing is, we feel like sometimes that we feel we are just like these disciples. We think that Jesus is sleeping because he's not hearing. We think that he's sleeping because all our junk is going on. All our stuff is going on. And we keep pleading to the Lord. And we keep wondering, why isn't God doing something? Is he asleep? Well, physically, he is asleep here in this story. He's in human form. His body needs to rest. His mind needs to rest. He is sleeping. But he is the Son of God, and he is on that boat. And he is God. There is a mission and a vision for him that God has set forth for him. No storm is going to stop what he's doing. Folks, can I just remind you that when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you have salvation, that you've been redeemed, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are a special individual. You are more special than anything else in the face of this earth, on any building, any bank accounts, stock exchange buildings, all those kind of things. People, because you are a child of God. And because you're a child of God, the Father knows exactly where you are and what you're doing, how many hairs are on top of your head, what you're doing, where you're at, and every moment in your life, and every dollar that you have, every dollar that you don't have, every illness that you have. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He's not sleeping. God has something for you, and the worst thing you can do is start having the spirit of fear. And folks, COVID brought the fear out of everybody. And some of us are still afraid to go to church. Some of us are afraid to do anything. We're afraid of all the news that we're getting. Listen, sometimes you just need to turn off the news and pick up the good news and start reading about the real news and the future of the news. But we don't. We just want to keep... We get all discouraged about what's going on. Listen, our world's in total. Our country's in a mess. It's not just our country. It's in a lot of countries. Are you surprised? If you read your Bible, you shouldn't be. Is there fear that goes on? There's times that we might have a little fear. We step back and we start praying through it. God strengthens us. We go on. No president's going to fix our problems. Quit thinking like that. This country has to get back on its knees before God and not say, let's get back to where we were at, because we were pretty messy even beforehand. We were messy. We just knew how to cover it up better. So we got storms that go on in our lives, and they're tough, and they rage, and they keep raging. Jesus is not sleeping, but Jesus gets up, and what does he do? He rebukes the wind, and he rebukes the raging waves. Why? How? Because he is the Son of God. That's why we pray to God. That's why we pray to Christ, because he can calm all those storms in your life. And what he does, he comes to this place and he says, where is your faith? They were fearful. You read that a lot. I think we read it this morning. There's a lot of times when Jesus' disciples were fearful, but they were amazed at the same time. But Jesus asked, where is your faith? Where's your faith? Just because you have a moment of when you have a moment, when you have a moment where you are going through things, it doesn't mean to quit. It doesn't mean to abandon the ship. It doesn't mean to walk away and try something different. You don't walk away from Christ. We don't. Even though some of us have done that. We don't walk away. We work through that and we keep our faith. We keep our faith. And Jesus says, where is your faith? We know that storms will come. And they'll come. As soon as one is done, and you get sunshine in your life, it seems like another one is coming. Yeah? Yeah? And the older you get, the more storms you have gone through. But they're also pieces of testimonies that keep you strong and build up your character and build up your foundation and build up who you are in Christ, that the little things don't bother you anymore, and you grow up and you read the Word, you see how faithful that God is, you see how faithful and how strong the Holy Spirit is, and you go through storms and you get stronger and you're stronger and stronger. It doesn't mean you're invincible, but it means that you understand and know that things are going to get hard at times, and you know where to go to resolve those things. And sometimes the seasons are longer than what you want them to be. But our faith needs to be as those men who came together and says, if we can get to Jesus, we believe that this man can walk again. Yeah? Some people will do what they need to do. They'll tear the roof off and they will find a way. They'll find a way. You know, Jesus didn't run to them. This is what I love. You read the stories about Jesus. Most of the time, he never runs to the people. The one that needs the healing is right there. They find a way, but here's it doesn't talk about all those people. But Jesus knows all those people that are around him, they all need just as much help or more help than the one that's trying to get the help. But he never runs to them. Here it is. What's the scripture say? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Why is that? Because it's truth. You experience the power of it when you do it. When you draw near to these people, said, hey, we need to get our friend. They drew near to God. God drew near to them. And there was more than what they even asked for. Centurion says, listen, I can't even draw near to God. I'm going to send somebody that's better than me. I'm going to send Jewish elders because I'm unworthy. And I'm going to send some friends again because I'm sending some friends. Because I'm unworthy. He was drawing near to God in a different way, but he was drawing near to God, and God drew near to him, and his servant was healed. Folks, do you notice in those two pieces, there were many people that were involved that were not asking for anything for themselves? You want to see miracles happen. You want to see God do amazing things. Quit asking just for yourself and get involved with somebody in the church or somebody you know that is actually hurting and be an advocate for them and get in there and be an advocate and be a true brother, sister of Christ and carry some of that burden as these individuals carried a man who was paralyzed and began to tear up. Now, somebody got to pay for that, but there was something that needed to be done. And the centurion says, listen, all you got to do is just say it, Lord. And the ones that should have known better, Jesus says, where is your faith? Folks, this place is built on faith. It has run on faith for 22 years. But I promise you this, it won't last another week without faith. Because that's where our finances are. I never asked you to pay for anything. He is a supplier. I believe he owns every dollar and every penny, every ruble, every Egyptian coin, every dollar in the world. As much as these leaders say, I got this, I got that. Listen, leaders come, leaders go, leaders. The only thing that remains is the Word of God, is Jesus Christ and His believers. There's not one person here that could take care of our financial problem. But it's really not a problem. It's just another opportunity to pray. It's an opportunity to seek the Lord, to see we will tear off a roof, or we will seek the Lord. I just know, growing in the Lord in this place that has always been a place that needs, you have to live by faith and faith alone. That's it. That's it. That is it. We need to bring our head out of the, some of us need to bring our heads out of the clouds. Understand that our brothers, some of our brothers and sisters, listen, I know some of you are struggling. I know some of your personal things, you're struggling. But some of us don't know a clue because we won't even spend time with anybody. We in and out the door like that. You got to spend time, you got to sit down, you got to ask somebody out for a cup of coffee. Because let me tell you, when your faith is riding high, you think everything else is going good. It's not. Somebody else has got a crack in their foundation. Somebody else has got a crack, and they're at a place where they're struggling. Let me tell you. When you struggle, your faith is going to be tested. It's just going to be tested. It's going to be tested. It has to be tested. It's going to be tested. Missing my spot. We've got a couple of minutes. I love so many markers in my Bible. I can't remember where it is, but I can tell you what it is. After Jesus does some of these miracles, Jesus begins to do this, begins to walk, and some of the disciples came up. It was not his disciples. It was John the Baptist's disciples. John's sitting in prison, and the disciples, John's disciples, come up to Jesus as he's teaching, and they said, John wants to know, are you really him? Kidding me? But folks, we all get there at times. Don't ever think that you got this great place that you might not have a doubt or two in your life. Thank you, Lord. I found it. It's right here, right in front of me. He wants us to hear this. Don't think that I'm so mighty selfish that I got this faith that I can rock the world because I'm so faithful. Listen, when you do that, you just put a chip on your shoulder and you're going to wreck. Because listen, true faith is, it's built with humbleness, humility, patience, and compassion. This is after Jesus brings to life this widow's son, just walking by and sees the people in this parade for a funeral, and he comes up, he doesn't touch the dead body, he just touches the coffin, and the young man comes right back to life. Jesus did it because it says he had compassion. Nobody asked him, he just had compassion. Sometimes Jesus does miracles when we don't even ask. Praise God for that. But he says, then John's disciples told him about these things. He came back and told John the Baptist about these things. So John summoned two of his disciples and he sent them to the Lord, asking, are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else? And when these men reached him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And at that time, Jesus healed many people of diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits, and he granted sight to many of the blind. These are the exact things that are written in Luke chapter 4. That I have come to do these things. And today it is fulfilled. And then Jesus replied to them, go and report to John that you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight and lame walk, and those with leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And blessed is the one who is offended by me, or isn't offended by me. And after John's messengers, his disciples left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. Now think about this for a minute. John has a moment, has this moment of doubt. Folks, have you ever had a moment of doubt? Come on now, are you real? Come on now. You ever had that moment of doubt? No matter what it is, God says he's going to take care of something and you have a moment of doubt. God doesn't think you're going to get through your marriage. God doesn't, whatever it is, you have a moment of doubt. And sometimes there's even, listen, as a pastor, I've had this so many times. Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. You know, that's the works of the devil, right? I don't know if I'm saved. And you know, I'm going to tell you, when people talk like that, they're really talking about something serious. And we'll work through that. You might have found out most of the time, they are. It's had a moment. A moment of doubt. John, what did he say when he baptized Jesus? Oh, I'm unable to untie your sandals. I mean, you had those moments where you're like, God, you're so amazed. You had those moments where you worship God. It's been so intense. And you've seen God do so many things in your life. But then there's this moment that you are struggling with. And Jesus knows that this is the moment John struggling. Cousins, right? They're struggling. Jesus turns and begins to speak to the crowd about John, and the disciples, or John's disciples, are treading away, and they probably heard a little bit of this. But Jesus says, he talks to the crowd, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Means you go out and just look at nature? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothes? If you know anything about John the Baptist, he wasn't wearing the fashion clothes. See those who are splendidly dressed and live in luxury or in a royal palaces? What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. Jesus doesn't start bashing him for his moment of doubt. Let me just tell you today, you have moments of doubt. Jesus is not bashing you. That's Satan telling you things that are not true. What did Jesus continue to say? He says, a prophet? Yes, I tell you, but more than a prophet. Not that Jesus is he's not tearing him down. He's not even saying anything negative. He's lifting John up even in his moment of doubt. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one who it is written, see, I am sending you my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of men, no greater is than John. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Even the least in heaven is even greater than John. What does this all mean? Even in your moment of doubts, God is still lifting you up. Jesus is still lifting you up. There's a work to be done. Jesus knew what was going to happen to John. It was going to cost him his head. Not for his doubt by no means, but because of a nasty, evil women, I should say. But let me tell you, the man that was doubting, Jesus says, there is born of women, no one is greater than John. Doubts happen. It's a testing of our faith at times. It's a work of our faith, but we got to move forward and we got to believe. The testing of our faith will happen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. If the world had a Bible, it would say we live by sight. But no, we live by God's word. For we live by faith, not by sight. So whatever you're going through, hang in there. Don't do it alone, because if you could fix it, you had already fixed it. Don't try to do it all by yourself. Don't find a hole and cower into it. It doesn't work. You hang on to Jesus. And sometimes you might just say, all I got to do is touch the hem. Other times you say, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to go in. I'm going to tear off what I need to tear off. And I'm going to work through my prayer life and I'm going to wrestle through and tear a roof off. And I'm going to lower myself down and I'm going to get myself in front of Jesus. Yeah. And other times we may come into the altar and maybe not even be able to touch the altar. I have to say 6 feet back and say, Lord, I'm even unworthy today just to go that far. But I know you will help me. And other times we'll find ourselves in a storm and we're like, God, where are you? And he'll say, where's your faith? And other times we may be someplace and we're like, man, Lord, I'm kind of unsure of things right now. Are you even here? Where are you? And some of the apostles just said, why are you sleeping? Faith is a journey. And it's like this. But the key is if we lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of where we're on the high moments, if we're on the going up a mountain, we're going down into a valley, or in the valley, I want to remind you that he will never leave you, never forsake you. He is your God, he is your Savior, and he will be with you always. That's it. Always. Not till the end of the age, not till the end of your life. It is always because you have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Here it is. Once you become saved, he is with you always. That's it. Always. Even when you doubt. Because he is faithful and he cannot deny himself, even when we are faithless. So whatever you have today, whatever you need, whatever it is that's in your life, whatever that you need to draw to God for, whatever it is going on, wherever you are, I want to remind you that Jesus is faithful. And maybe today you might need just to get in front of him and say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. And that might be just exactly what he wants you to do. Is not let go of it with just your hands and your feet and everything that you are, that you let go of it 100% and trust in him on who he is. Maybe you just need help in keeping going on because your prayer has not been answered. But just let me remind you, once you have prayed that prayer, God heard it the first time. He actually heard it when your heart was spinning before you even prayed. So there's no one that's heard it more than him. He's heard it more than you have even thought about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Yeah? You have to acknowledge him with your faith. Father, as we get ready to go into this next part of our service, I pray, Lord, that your spirit may be, have your will may be done, and that we might open our hearts and our faith might rise just a little bit today. That we might trust you with those things that we struggle with. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.